We've been covering the book of Romans, and last Wednesday I brought you something out of Isaiah, and I promise we will be finishing Romans. We are going back to Romans. There is no doubt about Romans, but I brought you something out of Isaiah last Wednesday night that I had not been able to go into on our Sunday service, and I want to cover part of Isaiah tonight that I would have liked to have preached on. But I just want to cover this tonight. If you have your Bibles with you, if you would go to Isaiah chapter 55, and we're going to read just these first three verses. And these are the three verses that we are going to cover tonight. And let me just read this text tonight. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come, buy, and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. And I want to talk about these three verses. And there's something in here that I think that again applies to us that we can take and we can understand and we can put in our minds and hearts tonight. So if we can just talk this, I've got a title here, Free with a Cost, but I'm not really emphasizing the title tonight so much as I just want to emphasize this text. Let's pray tonight. God, we're thankful for your word. And Father, we know that your word is what we need to guide us in this world. Yes. And Lord, we know that when we read your word and study your word, literally, God, you are speaking to us. We are listening to you speak to us through your word, the Bible. And God, help us, Lord, to understand your word tonight. Jesus' name, amen. This text here, if you read a lot of some commentaries on it, and I've got several, it says that Isaiah 55 is a complex and difficult passage to understand. And it is, and I'm not sure that I've got the answer tonight, but I have something I want to present to you for your thoughts. Isaiah 55 is difficult to understand. And Isaiah 55 has some verses that I think all of us here, just about all of us, would find familiar. If you look at verse number 6, I think that this is Isaiah 55 and 6. And how many times have you been in a service and, you know, the preacher has preached and he's given the altar call and he's basically telling people, you know, you might not get another chance. And then he quotes the verse, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Now, the only ones that's got our cameras on right now is me and Brother Carl, so I can ask Brother Carl. Let me ask you, you can just signify by shaking your head or whatever. Is that a familiar verse to you? Have you heard that verse a lot of times? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I've heard it a lot too. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. And I've just heard that. I've used that in the pulpit. Seek him while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Then verses 8 and 9. How many times have you been in a funeral and, you know, it's a funeral of somebody that passed away too young and everybody's asking why? Why did this happen? Why did this happen? And it says in verse 8, for your thoughts are not my thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. And so I think all of us very likely have been sitting in a funeral and the preacher says, well, you're asking, why did this person die at this age? Well, we don't understand, but all we can say is the Bible says that his ways are higher than our ways. For as high as the heaven is above the earth, so are his ways higher than our ways. I mean, again, Brother Carl, have you heard that one used in that context before? Yes, yes. And so Isaiah 55 has some very, very common, you know, very popular verses. And I think that this kind of makes it an important chapter to read and to study and to understand. Before I get into what I think, let me just say what is a very common understanding. And if you want to believe this, go for it. This is a safe, good, safe thing to believe. But what some Bible experts say that this belief is talking about is that it's talking about that when the captives were coming back from Babylon, you know, the Isaiah, he lived before the Babylonian captivity and he prophesied that it was going to happen. And then he prophesied that after the Babylonian captivity was over, that they would get to return to Jerusalem. And he wrote in some of the previous chapters, words of encouragement to them returning, you know, to Jerusalem. And many people say that if you just look at the context of the previous chapters and stuff, that basically this is Isaiah talking to the captives that would get to the exiles, if you want to call them that, that would get to leave Babylon and return to Jerusalem. And he was just saying, come, everyone who thirsts, come to water. You know, you can get water, you can get wine, you can get milk, you can get bread. In other words, if you, you know, returning to Jerusalem, you're worrying about what's going to happen to you. What's going to, you know, how are you going to eat? How are you, what are you going to have to live off of? Don't worry. I've got that all taken care of. I'm going to provide for you. And that's what a lot of people, in fact, Carl, if you can just put verse one back on the screen, that's what a lot of people think that this passage is just talking about, is that you had Israelites leaving Babylon, returning to Jerusalem, and God was just telling them, listen, I'm going to provide for you. You're going to have milk and wine and bread, and I'm going to provide for you. My provision is going to be for you. But here's the issue that I bump into is in verse number three, when he says, incline your ear, come to me, hear that your soul may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for who? For David. So he was talking, basically telling them that he was basing that he was going to, you know, on his loyalty to David. And that all sounds well and good, but the problem with that is that I don't know that those exiles coming back from Babylon would have been very encouraged by that. Because the Davidic line of kings, you know, there was David, then there was Solomon, then there was Rehoboam, and all of those kings were in the lineage and of David. But there was, when they returned from Babylon, folks, there was no more Davidic line of kings. Because Nebuchadnezzar had came in there, sacked Jerusalem, conquered Israel, and they had been living under the king of Nebuchadnezzar, and then his grandson, Belshazzar. And then after Babylon fell, they were living under Cyrus, the Persian king. And Cyrus is the one, he let them return to Jerusalem, but he was still very much the king and very much in power. And then after him, after the Persian dynasty, who was there? There was the Greek dynasty, Alexander the Great. And then after them, the Roman dynasty. So I don't think that those exiles coming back from Jerusalem would be really all that impressed with the promise based on David's line, when David's line had basically been cut down. In fact, we read in Isaiah chapter 11 in verse 1 here the other Sunday, we read where it says, there shall come forth a root or a shoot. And remember, Sister Kristen, I mentioned about you and your trees, and that a shoot is like a sucker that comes up from a tree, and it says a shoot will come forth from the stump of Jesse. Well, Jesse was David's father. And so what Isaiah was portraying here is that the Davidic line of kings was like a tree that had been cut down. There was nothing left but the stump. Okay? So you say, well, what does that have to do with Isaiah 55? Well, so if this was to the exiles, if this was to the exiles returning from Babylon, they would, a promise based on the Davidic line of kings wouldn't have meant a whole lot to them, because they had no king other than Cyrus, the Persian king, that let them go back to Jerusalem. You look at that, and there's some other verses I had in my notes about the Davidic kings, but I'm going to move on. I think you get the drift of what I'm saying, that they had no king. And so if you look at, in fact, let's go to Daniel chapter 1 and verse number 1 and 2. This is when they lost their king. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, that'd be a son of David, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with some of the vessels of the house of God. And basically, he swept them away. And you know all about the temple being destroyed back in those days. And that basically was the end of the Davidic line of kings. And I'm just going to say that since Isaiah 53 and 3 could have not been fulfilled by any of these kings that were sons of David that sat on the throne in those Old Testament times, since it could not have been fulfilled like that, how are we supposed to interpret Isaiah 55? And when you realize that all scripture, all Old Testament scripture and prophecy needs to be interpreted in light of the person and work of Jesus Christ, you start looking and you realize that, wait a second, Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of the seed of David, which we've talked about before. In fact, if you look at Luke chapter 1, verses 30 through 33, the angel had appeared to Mary, and it said, the angel said to her, Mary, do not be afraid, for you found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you can call his name Jesus, and he will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end. You find the fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 3 not in one of those kings that reigned in the Old Testament. You find the fulfillment of it in the true son of David, the true seed of David, and that would be Jesus Christ. And you see it here in Luke chapter 1. So when you go back to, let's go to Isaiah 55 and 3, incline your ear and come and hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. That this was fulfilled, this everlasting covenant was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So that means that we need, if we want to understand verses 1 and verse 2, we need to look at these and read these again in light of the finished work of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to submit to you tonight that I do not believe that ultimately this passage was written about exiles returning from Babylon to Jerusalem after the Babylonian captivity. I don't think, I have come to the place that I don't believe that that is what's going on here. I believe that verse 3 is pointed to us that this is talking about an event that would be fulfilled in the future Messiah. And so if you look at verse 1, it says, come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. He who has no money, come buy. If we were all here together, I would say, everybody repeat after me and say, buy. Come, buy, and eat. Come, buy. You notice buy is used twice. The verb buy is used twice. Come, buy, and eat. Find my verse here. Come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. You say, well, Brother Wiggins, I still don't understand what's being said here. Let me say it this way. The verb buy is repeated. So the thought of it costing something and the purchase is not set aside. This isn't some soup kitchen where they're just saying, hey, go over there and get in line. All the food's free. This is not a soup kitchen, folks. This had a price. This had a price because it says that you could buy, but you didn't need money. In other words, Isaiah was trying to emphasize in the Hebrew that there is a purchase and a price, but it will not be yours to pay. There was a purchase, there was a cost, there was a price, but it's not yours to pay. You can have it. And again, buy is mentioned twice. There is a purchase and a price, but it's not yours to pay. In other words, it's already, the price has already been paid. Are you following me? Okay. And you say, well, then who paid it and when did it get paid? Well, one of the hermeneutics that we studied was context. We're in Isaiah 55. Let's just go back two chapters and let's go to Isaiah 53. And in Isaiah 53, verses 5 and 6, Isaiah 53 talks a lot about this. I'll just read two verses out of it. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment or the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we're healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And notice the wording on this last. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Where was the price paid in Isaiah 55? Then leave it right there in Isaiah 53 for right now, Carl. But you ask the question, all this where it says come and buy, that's already been, you know, the cost is already, there's a cost, but it's already been paid for. It's not yours to pay. Well, who paid it? This faithful servant paid it in Isaiah 53. And it was being paid in Isaiah 53 by the faithful servant, which we all know was Messiah, which was the Lord Jesus Christ. So the purchase was paid for in Isaiah 53. So now you go back to Isaiah 55 and 1, and it says, come everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. He who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk. Yes, there's a purchase to be made, but it's all already been paid for in Isaiah 53 by Messiah when he was suffering for our iniquities. And if you look in the very first part of this verse where it says, come everyone who thirsts, let's go to Revelation 21 and 6. This is Jesus talking. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of water of life without payment, without price. It's already been purchased. It's already been purchased. Revelation 22 and 17. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires to take the water of life, again, without price, just like Isaiah 55 talked about. I'm going to say that Isaiah 55 was not written to the exiles leaving Babylon in returning to Jerusalem. I think Isaiah 55 was written to New Testament believers, to New Testament people that would come and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and obey the gospel. And that's who Isaiah is talking about here. And then in verse 2 of Isaiah 55, and I'm bringing this in for a landing here, he says, why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor is for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me, or hear in hearing, as it says in Hebrews, in the original Hebrew, it says, instead of saying listen diligently in the original Hebrew, it says, hear in hearing to me. Eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food. Again, he's not telling captives coming home from Babylon, oh, you know, what? Be sure and eat good, nutritious food. I don't think he's saying that. If you look if you look at, he says, why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and you labor for that which does not satisfy? And we all know only truly Jesus can satisfy your soul. And Isaiah says, why are you spending your money for stuff that you think is going to feed you and nourish you, and it does not nourish you, and it's not really bread, and it's not going to satisfy you? And Jesus in John chapter 6 said this, and I just realized that some of my verses got deleted from my notes, but suffer it to be so right now. I'm not going to worry about it. But in John chapter 6 and verse 26, remember how he had fed the 5,000, you know, with just some loaves of bread and a few fishes, and he fed 5,000 people. And then he told them, he said, truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for bread that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life. What Jesus is saying here is you can eat lunch, but by dinner time you're hungry again. And if you fill yourself with temporal things of this world, it will satisfy you for a time. It will satiate your hunger, satiate your thirst for a while, but you will get hungry again. You will get thirsty again. And he told these people, he says, you ate your fill of these loaves of bread, and that's the only reason you're really following me, is you want more of that bread. And really, you need to be seeking the bread that never makes you hunger again. And he told them in John, and it got deleted from my notes, is that he told them, he says, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. That bread, that manna that fell down from, that came down and you woke up in the, your fathers woke up in the morning and it was laying on the ground. That was just an Old Testament type of me. I am the bread of life. And if you remember in John chapter 7, it says that in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Remember Isaiah 55 and 1 says, come everyone who thirsts. Well, Jesus in John 7 said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And you look even in John, I believe it's chapter 4, Jesus was with a woman at the well. Carl, you've got it on the screen. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me to drink. And the Samaritan woman was kind of shocked and said, man, how come you are asking me, a Samaritan, to give you, a Jew, something to drink? And Jesus answered and said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that's saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. And Jesus, again, to me, right here in John 4 and in John 7, he's fulfilling Isaiah 55. And my deal is this, folks. I'm not just here to give you some theological lesson today. My deal is, I'm tired of reading my Bible just to try to be faithful and read my Bible through, and just reading chapters, whole chapters, where I don't even know what's going on. I read it and I close my Bible, and I'm glad I read my Bible, but I'm no more edified than I was before I started reading it. I want to know. I want to understand. And I want to be able to look at Isaiah 55, and just like all the commentaries say, oh, yo, this is a very complicated, difficult passage to understand. Yes, I think it is. I agree. It is complicated, and it has twisted me up and down and all around. But at the end of the day, I can see where Isaiah 55 was fulfilled in Christ rather than being fulfilled in some exiles coming back from Babylon to Jerusalem. And I like that. I like that. And that helps me to this day, that this scripture can apply. I can apply this to myself, where, come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. He who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money, without price. That was fulfilled in Christ, so that's a promise for us today. That's a promise for us today. And that basically concludes what I had to say tonight. And so is there, before we're dismissed here, does anybody have any comments or anything they want to say before we're dismissed tonight? Okay, very good. Well, I love everybody. And this is not as good as the online, as doing it in person, doing services in person, but I am thankful that we have this ability. But God bless everybody. And let's pray tonight in dismissal. Let's pray. God, we're so thankful. Thankful for you and thankful for your word, Lord. We pray that you would let your hand would be on us, God. And let your word dwell richly in us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.